Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question. How many have gotten some things out of this series, Authentic Community? I have. There's a lot the Spirit of God says about it that we never even looked at. We're going to get into that in the weeks to come, but we understand this, that if you look at the early church in the first century in the book of Acts, yeah, they did things a little bit differently. Yeah, they met in people's houses. They weren't going to meet in the Roman Colosseum. Not by choice. So, we understand that things may have been a little bit different. The culture may have been a little bit different. But the fact still remains, the Spirit of God has a lot to say about developing authentic community in a local church. You know, maybe the situation, we've kind of seen this as we've come along in this series, is maybe the biggest challenge that we've had through the years of authentic community is, yes, someone would say, well, time. Time is the reason. Nobody has any time. Well, I understand that we're busy, but if we say that, then we also would have to say that the first century church, nobody had any, they didn't do anything. They just all sat around in fellowship and sang, "Don't pass me by, gentle Savior," which that isn't true, because every generation has had things they were supposed to do, right? I said, right? Yeah. So, it's just really an issue of whether we're going to align our hearts with what's important to Father's heart. You know, it's amazing. We can justify anything. Those of us that have had kids, we all know that that's possible. You know, they justify anything. And everything sounds good too, you know. And we do the same kind of thing to Father sometimes. But I love what Paul says. He said this in a couple of his letters, that certain individuals had the interests of Jesus in their heart. Everybody say the interests of Jesus. See, that's really the foundation of developing authentic community is, number one, you know, obviously that we have to live in awe of Him and that He has to be the biggest one in the room. And that means that there are times when He won't sound like your opinion. I know that's a deep thought. But there are times that He won't sound like your opinion. In fact, it's better if He doesn't. Because then we know we're not just, as James puts it, we're not just self-counseling ourselves. You know, James talks about scenarios where you talk to yourself so much that you find yourself, you're over here and He's over there. But how you got here was you agreed with yourself and called it Him. So it's important that, you know, I thank the Spirit of God every day. I talk to Him a lot and I just thank Him, number one, for thank you for your friendship, thank you for your fellowship. But more than anything, thank you for your correction and your adjustments and getting me back on the right thought process. Because that's how we live in awe of Him, and that's how we live in the fact that He is the biggest one in the room. Again, as a review, I love what Proverbs 19:23 says, that when you live a life of abandoned love, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation, when you live a life of abandoned love, surrendered before the awe of God, here's what you'll experience: abundant life, continual protection, and complete satisfaction. You know, I was thinking about this verse. What would happen if we created a culture? Here's what happens in our life. stuff happens. So then we immediately take that stuff and we disqualify us. And they say, well, God can't use me. I have this going on. I can't pray for the sick because I got something going on with my body. And, well, I can't do that, or I can't. What would happen if we just made a decision that we're just going to live a life of abandoned love and surrender and look for opportunities to show people the awe of Him? Regardless of whether you think you're qualified or not, it's not about you, it's about Him. Well, I prayed for 600 people and every one of them died. Well, praise the Lord, there's 601. 602. How many times you do it has nothing to do with whether or not He's still Lord. Whether or not He's still healer. Whether or not He's still good. Whether or not He's still fill in the blank. He still is that. So what if we developed a culture that we just wanted to live in abandoned love, surrendered before the awe of Him, and everywhere we went, we just looked for opportunities to bring that awe of Him into the now. Because the Word says, here's what you'll experience. You'll experience abundant life, continual protection, and complete satisfaction. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27 says this, that confidence and strength, everybody say confidence and strength.
Confidence and strength.
I mean, I like that. I like confidence and strength.
Yeah.
Confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God. How many lovers of God we have in here today? I got two hands. If I had more, I'd raise those two. Confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God who live in awe of Him. And their devotion provides, and I love this part, their devotion provides their children with a place of shelter and security. All the years that you've served the Lord, all the years that you've loved on Jesus, all the years that you ran into challenges and you had stuff happen, but you never backed off your awe of Him. Whether or not your kids will ever admit it, they watched everything you did. And what you begin to realize as they get older is they begin to follow right behind you. Because He just is that good. I don't know about you, but I'm believing for a dynasty of offspring that serve Jesus, love Jesus, raise hell, R-A-Z-E. Verse 27 of Proverbs 14 says, to worship God in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life within you, empowers you to escape death's dominion. That's in the spontaneous situations, the right nows too. Notice the connection between verse 26, confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God who live in awe of them. And then verse 27, it says, to worship God in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life, empowering you to escape death's dominion. And we made this statement in weeks gone by. Our connection with Him will always be reflected by our connection with each other. John brought that out in 1 John. He said, if you're walking in the light as He's in the light, you'll love one another. And then he went on to say, don't make the statement that you love one another, but that you're walking in the light, but you're not loving one another. And I want to show you some things this morning. We made this statement. We're going to kind of build on this. Having a deep relationship with God that includes authentic friendship. How many want authentic friendship with the Lord? Will definitely lead us into sharing that same kind of relationship and friendship with others. It's so amazing with Him that, when we've taken so many verses that talk about who we are and I've been guilty of it too, of, saying that this is who He made us, that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and that's who we are and I get all that, but sometimes I think we lose sight of the fact that part of what makes us what we are is just simply a response unconsciously of spending time with Him. You don't even have to try. So we talked about this. We talked about what if one of our core cultural values was to create an environment for others when you're with them that is exactly the same as He creates for you when you're with Him. Because this is really what John is talking about in 1 John, that the more you spend time with Him, you'll walk in the light as He's in the light right now as I'm speaking. If you say you're in fellowship with Him right now as I'm speaking, or right now as you're speaking, if you say you're in fellowship with Him, then you're going to be walking as He's walking right this moment. We're the ones that severed, separated, and made it into a theology, something we, quote, believe in, instead of a real-time, right now, right this second connection. But John is simply saying in his letter of 1 John that this is what happens. This is just a byproduct of hanging out with him. Everything that he floods your soul with that is him, it just comes out of you towards other people. So that the environment that he creates when you're in his presence, that's why it's so important for us to spend time with him. Because folks, the reality of it is this, is, and I believe Colossians says this, that when you're separated from him, you live in the shadows of your own mind. And herein lies the challenge. The less time, the less input he is having, the more input something else is having. And it's yapping. And it ain't talking right either. So then pretty soon you find yourself, you wake up one day and you're clear over here. And the only voice you've been hearing for quite a long time is either yours, influenced by something else that wasn't him. So we don't want to get, you remember in the Old Testament where the Lord told the children of Israel, now look, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to cross the Jordan. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to put the Ark of the Covenant up there. You're going to put the priest, and then you're going to be a certain distance back. But it's not going to be even farther than this. See, we need to develop a habit in our life that we don't let anything get between him and you. Because every time you take a step back, something gets in between you. Starts yapping. Could sound really spiritual, but it's not him. Because you have to understand this, folks. Everything that comes out of his mouth has the power in it to cause you to become what he says you are. That's his job. As soon as he opens his mouth, light be, light, he says light be, light was. As soon as he opens his mouth in your life, if we'll live there, then the things that are coming out of his mouth, and he shows you from his word. Every time revelation dawns on your understanding and you get a picture, he draws you up into that. So we don't want to live with all this surrogate junk talking in our ears. Because as good as it is, it's not him. Colossians 1:9 says, our prayer is that you would be filled to overflowing. Everybody say overflowing. With the revelation of God's pleasure over you. Filled to overflowing with the revelation of God's pleasure over you. That's Colossians 1:9. So, what this verse is saying is we're supposed to live and expect to live in that umbrella of that revelation of His pleasure over you. What does that do? Well, have you ever lived in a scenario where the person that you were directly involved with, you never did anything right? It was never right. It doesn't matter what you did, it was never right. You tried to do the best, it was never right. You try to do better, something else is wrong. What does that do? Well, that creates anger. Or am I the only one? It creates anger. Creates frustration. Shuts you down. Now flip that 180 degrees. Now what happens if you're living in an environment where the person who's speaking into your life is continually flooding you with revelation of who you really are and how good you are and how he loves you so much and how valuable you are and how precious you are, and the fact that even when he's asking you to make adjustments, he's also, along with that, he's also infused a picture of who you really are. Is it hard to make adjustments then? Not at all. And then what happens is, as a result of that, see, you treat other people that same way. It works both ways. Colossians 2:7 says, your spiritual roots go deeply into his life. I love that. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you continually are infused with strength, and you're encouraged in every way. See, his desire is to build you up. You know, he doesn't just say you're the righteousness of God in Christ because that's a theological doctrine. He tells you that so you can stop trying to be good enough and just be. So you can just live in the place where you just live with him, you hang out with him, he continually has input into your life, he continually is speaking over you and showing you things and flooding your soul with revelation, and along with that, he causes you, and this is the thing that's so amazing about the love of God, is it causes you to want to adjust. Did you hear what I just said? It causes you to want to adjust. Then as a result of that, this is how we treat everyone around us. Colossians 2:19. We receive directly from him. His life supplies vitality into every part of his body through the joining ligaments connecting us all as one. See, all these verses are simply saying The success of authentic community starts with your connection with Him. And the fact, and I love this about John, because how many know John lived out of authentic community? He understood what relationship with Jesus. In fact, 1 John, he's simply telling us, look, I have such a great fellowship with Him, I'm wanting you to have the same level of fellowship. And since we're on the subject, this is what it looks like, and this is what it doesn't look like. Maybe the challenge that we've had over the years is we're not spending that connection time with Him, so therefore everything else is speaking into our lives, but we still want to appear like we're living in that connection when we're out in public. And so then we get in church settings and then, or you know, whatever, and all of a sudden, well, somebody says something and, well, that offended me, or that you shouldn't have said that, and that really hurt my feelings, or whatever. But the fact is John says, if you're living in the same level of fellowship that I'm living in, that there is no cause for stumbling in you. There is no cause for offense in you. So maybe the challenge is, maybe if we were just willing to say the word is right, even at the expense of my opinion, and just be willing to make some adjustments, the hurt doesn't hurt so bad. We've heard this said that the reason that things hurt is because there's an unwillingness to change. But as soon as you're willing to make the change, the hurt starts going away. And obviously we're talking about in line with the Spirit of God and what the Word is saying. Because if He's the biggest one in the room, that will be revealed. We can say He's the biggest one in the room, but our actions and our life habits and the willingness of us wanting to make adjustments really is what shows we believe that. Romans chapter 15, verse 7, you'll bring God glory when you accept and welcome one another as partners. Where does that come from? That comes from the fact that He welcomes you as His partner. See, everything comes from Him. And quite frankly, I just make this statement. We've been trying too hard to do all these things when if we just spend time with Him in abandoned love, in awe of Him, just contact with Him will make these things come to pass in our life. Because you can't spend time in His presence and your heart doesn't get tweaked, right? You'll bring glory to God when you accept and welcome one another as partners, just as the Anointed One has fully accepted you and received you as his partner. And that's a statement of fact. That's not a if you. Romans 15:17 says, it's through my union with Jesus that I enjoy enthusiasm and confidence. So obviously through all these verses, the bottom line is that we have to get real about who we're allowing to speak into our life, and we have to spend time with Him. Here's a good one. Romans chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. At the end of verse 12, it says, commune with God at all times. So you don't have to sit down at your couch and open your Bible and tell everybody in your house, okay, now you got to leave me alone for the next 4 hours because I got to spend time with Jesus. You can spend time with Jesus in your car. My wife's laughing because I used to do that. I felt bad for her. When we first got married, I thought, well, I had to go run off my study and study for 3 hours a night. What kind of marriage is that? Her mom came to town and she didn't say that, but her question was, I thought she was married. Where's your husband? Oh, he's off in the room. That was my thing. But communing with God simply means you spend time with Him. Are you the most aware of Him than anything else in your life? Cultivate that. That's pretty cool. He'll help you on your job. He'll help you everywhere. Just cultivate that He's more real to you than anything else. Communing with God at all times. Verse 13, what's the result of that? Well, as a result of you communing with God at all times, you take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people. Why? Anybody know? Anybody want to say anything? Is anybody here? Why is it that you take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people? You're close. It's because you're communing with Him, and those people are His interests. So His heart rubs off on you. Eagerly welcome people as guests in your home. Can you say authentic community? Verse 15, Romans 12. Celebrate with those who celebrate, weep with those who grieve, live happily together in a spirit of harmony, and be as mindful of, I love this part, be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. Where are you getting your worth from? Him. If you're really spending time with Him, He is going to tell you that you are absolutely priceless. If you back up from Him, other things will tell you otherwise. Which one do you want to be louder? So then let's narrow the gap. Because what happens is when you start being on the receiving end of this, and it's not just theology or it's not just who you are, quote, in Christ, But it's actually a spontaneous, every second of the day reality that you live and you believe the love that He has for you. Then what happens is you automatically, because your heart becomes His heart, and you're as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. Love and value others the same way you love and value yourself. Romans 13:9. See, there's a lot of this stuff in your Bible. We looked at this one. Colossians 1:9. Remember that you be filled with overflow with the revelation of God's pleasure over your lives. The result of that is what? It makes you reservoirs of all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, you want us, the more you spend time with Him, the more you love being around Him. And the more you love being around Him, the more He loves to share who He is to you. But notice this in verse 10. See, that was verse 9. That you're filled with the revelation of God's pleasure. See, now you're on the receiving end. He's opening your understanding. He's showing you His pleasure over your life. See, that creates something. That causes something to happen in your life. It's just not a doctrine. It causes something to happen. What does it cause to happen? Well, first it causes you to be a reservoir of wisdom and spiritual understanding. But then notice verse 10, which is right after verse 9. It says, we pray that you would walk in the way of true righteousness, pleasing God in every good thing you do. Then you'll become fruit-bearing branches, yielding to His life. Everybody say yielding to His life. And maturing in the rich experience of knowing God in His fullness. This is not a theology, guys. This is a spontaneous, real-time, everyday life interaction with Him. I'll put this on the screen. I said it earlier, but I'll put it on the screen. The amazing thing, because that's really what these verses, Colossians 1 verse 9 and Colossians 1 verse 10, is literally showing you the result of the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit's input in our lives is that He floods your understanding with who you really are, which in turn creates a desire within you, within your heart, to adjust to all the areas in your life that are being expressed that are contrary to that. I'm going to read that again. It's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. The amazing thing about Holy Spirit's input in our lives is that He floods your understanding with who you really are, creates a desire within your heart to adjust in all the areas that are being expressed that are contrary to that. That's just a nice byproduct of spending time with Him. Here's how you can tell who's speaking into your life. You ready? Ready for this deep one? If any religious thought process is speaking into your life, and by that I mean basically any kind of thought process that comes out of man, out of man's mind, including your own, sounds great, makes sense, especially to you. It's what it's going to produce. It'll produce a defensive posture. Well, see, Pastor, you can't say that. I didn't. Holy Spirit did. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Religion will produce a defensive posture, but yet Father will draw you into flawless adjustment. I like flawless adjustment. Father is so amazing. See, He said, what does any of this have to do with authentic community? It has everything to do with authentic community. Maybe this is the challenge that we've had in local churches, why we haven't established authentic community, because we're too alive and we matter too much to our own life, to our own thought process. That we're not spending the time with Father and letting Him flood our souls with revelation of how valuable we are and how precious we are and how priceless we are, so that it never flows down from out of you into somebody else's life. Because by the time we get to this place, the only one that's more important is still you. What about me? What about my needs? Notice what Paul told Timothy. We told Timothy, Timothy was a pastor of the church at Ephesus, 100,000 people. Paul basically said, you're going to stay in Ephesus, by the way, and instruct them not to teach or follow the errors of deceptive doctrines, nor pay any attention to cultural myths and traditions. How many know we have a whole lot of cultural myths and traditions today? Those digressions only breed controversies and debates. They are devoid of power that builds up and strengthens the church. What is the purpose of Father when it comes to the church? He wants it built up. He wants it strengthened. So He wants us to hang out with Him because He's going to build you up and strengthen you. And as a result of that, what it's supposed to produce is an environment where you're building up and strengthening each other. So we need to stay out of our own heads. We need to stay out of the popular thought process of the day. So that was 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And then look at verse 6. He basically calls all those cultural myths and traditions that breed controversies and cause debate, that do not build you up or strengthen you. He basically calls them misleading teachings and speculations that emphasize nothing more than empty words of men. See, those are as much religious in nature as anything else. Notice what Paul said when he met Jesus. Remember when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus? Knocked him on his can. First thing he said was, "Dude." Notice how he described what took place when he was with Jesus. "I was flooded," this is 1 Timothy 1:14, "I was flooded with such incredible grace, such incredible presence and power of him. Like a river overflowing its banks until I was full of faith and love." What's the next word? So what does hanging out with him do? It causes, if we're really hanging out with him, this is so amazing. You don't even have to try, guys. It causes you to respond just because you're a human. It causes you to respond to what you're experiencing, and it causes a reaction. "I was flooded with such an incredible grace, like a river overflowing its banks, until I was full of faith and love." He didn't have to do anything. This is just what happened as a result of hanging out with Jesus. "Until I was full of faith and love for Jesus, the Anointed One." Now, look at this verse. And I want you to read this verse not from a theological vantage point based on what we've just talked about. Because I've read this verse. This is Colossians 1, verse 12. I've read this verse a number of times. "Father God made us worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us." This is what every holy believer is qualified to experience. See, we read that verse and we say, "Praise the Lord. He's made me righteous. He's made me qualified." But that's all it is to you, is doctrine. That's not what this verse is saying. Notice the last four words in the verse that are down the last line. He's telling you that if you just hang with me, I'm going to cause something to happen inside of you that's going to cause my inheritance that is yours to come to you. But you got to hang with me. You got to spend time with me. This is a real-time, spontaneous result of you walking with him verse, not something you're supposed to rah, 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 theologically, "I'm the righteousness of God." That's not what this verse is saying. He's saying, let me break it down for you. "The love that I have for you is so overwhelming and so powerful and so forceful that if you'll get into that flow, it's going to knock you on your can, and you're going to realize the same thing that Paul realized, that you're going to get up and you're going to be so full of my love and so full of my power and so full of my presence that your reaction is going to be, you're going to grab me with both arms and you're going to say, 'I love you with all of my heart. Let's go live life.' And it will have been because you did nothing. It would be been because you were just right there. This is where you live." See, this is the start. This is where authentic community starts, is living right there. You guys getting anything out of this? Notice what Paul says here. This is Colossians 1, verses 28 and 29. Again, this is the Passion Translation. But notice what it says here. "It has become my inspiration." Now, as a result of what? As a result of his experience with Jesus, he flooded me with such incredible presence and power that, like a river overflowing its banks, the real result was this: until I was full of faith and love for him, the Anointed One. Now what happened? "Because I love him," and this is John, 1 John. If you say you love him, then you'll love those who he created. Not because you're trying, it's because you're hanging out with him. He said, "It's become my inspiration and my passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity, with his power flowing through me." We like to stop there, but I love the way this last part of the verse is worded in the Passion Translation. Because Paul was so overwhelmed with the presence of him, it became his inspiration and his passion and ministry to labor with tireless intensity, with his power flowing through me to what? To present to every believer the revelation of being his perfect one. Why? Because that's what he got from Jesus concerning himself. We've made these verses say anything and everything except the message that we were given the assignment to communicate to people. And that is that you have got to understand that in the presence of him, you are his perfect one. What happens in a city when a church is so grounded in this culture that everywhere we go, we communicate to people that I know you're going through stuff. I know stuff is happening. But you've got to understand, I don't care what's been said about you. I don't care what people have spoken into your life. What you need to understand is that when it comes to you and Jesus, He thinks you're His perfect one. Why? Because that's just simply offspring of where we live. Because we spend time with Him. And we don't back up and let somebody else get in there and start yapping something that's not that. Because you'll reproduce whatever you're letting yap. So let's narrow the gap and let's spend time with Him and be filled with the revelation of His love and the fact that He sees you as priceless. And then the result of that automatically is our message. It's like Paul said, it's my inspiration and my passion to labor tirelessly with His power flowing through me. That means His power backs up this message. What message? He said that to present to every believer the revelation of being His perfect one. Colossians 3:13 says this: if you find fault with someone, I mean, that might be possible in a church, in local church setting. Just one, maybe just one place, you know, one time. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. What does the last part say? The last part says this: that love becomes the mark of true maturity. How many know that you can fake maturity? Man, you can fake it. You can quote verses. You can talk about everybody else. You can be the discerner that points at all the other problems. See, it all makes you look mature. But the Holy Spirit of God says the mark of true maturity that's coming from me is you're able to walk in love, no matter if anything else goes on. Why? Because this is what we're on the receiving end of when we're walking with Him. He's simply saying maturity is you spend time with me, you let me flood your soul, and then you turn around and you flood somebody else's soul with what I gave you. You create the same environment for them that I create for you. That's maturity. Nothing else. So we don't need to fake it. You know what's interesting about this verse? This is Colossians 3:13 and 14. It says, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. What virtues are we talking about here? Well, in verse 11, if you back it up, how timeless is this? That your nationality makes no difference. Your ethnicity, your education makes no difference. Your economic status makes no difference. The natural man has made it all about those four things. The Spirit of God says it's not about any of that. It's about this. Your virtues are what? To be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Be compassionate, showing kindness towards all, not just the ones that agree with you. Be gentle and humble. What's that next word? Unoffendable. Why are you unoffendable? Well, you know, I just worked really hard at it. No, John says it's because you walk in the light. And you're in the light. And because you're spending time in the light with Him, that He's flooding your soul with revelation from Him. And it's causing there to be nothing in you that is offendable. Jesus said that. He said, darkness has nothing in me. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you've been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. We talked about this last week. Everybody remember this? He builds you up so that you're equipped to build others up. That is our assignment. And that is the foundation from which authentic community comes from. You guys get anything out of this at all? So, you begin to understand that the starting place. Everybody can stand up. I'm done. The starting place. Somebody says, thank you, Jesus. The starting place is, let's just spend time with Him. And when you spend time with Him, here's the thing that's so amazing. When you spend time with Him, do I dare say this? When you're spending time with Him and He really is the biggest thing in the room, not your problem, then you don't walk away from that and still be deficient. There's a reason why the Word says you're complete in Him. That's not just a theological, doctrinal statement. That's a real-time, right now, this moment statement. If we're walking in the light as He's in the light, if we're really spending time with Him, then the biggest thing in the room is not going to be your problem, your challenges. The biggest thing in the room is going to be His awesomeness, and you'll never leave that place. You'll develop a habit to where every time stuff starts to yap at you, you run straight back to that place where He's still the biggest thing in the room. And you may have to talk out loud. You may have to speak out loud. You may have to tell your mind to shut up. You may have to make yourself, as bad as you think you sound, driving down the road, you have to make yourself sing praises to Him to get yourself back to that place of being in awe of Him instead of being in awe of your problem. We cannot say we're spending time with Him and yet all we see in our life is our deficiencies. Then you're spending time with the concept of Him. You're not spending time with Him. Because we've seen over and over and over and over again, whether it's in 1 John or Colossians or where it is, your connection is with Him. What he's literally, if you just hang out with Him, if you just spend time with Him, if you just abandon yourself to be totally in love with Him, your problems, your deficiencies as you see them will go away. But we've gotten so comfortable calming our own conscience because we say, yeah, I spend time with Him, but yet you walk out of that place of spending time with Him and the biggest thing in the room is still what you don't have, still who you're not, and still what's not in your life. Then, honey, you didn't spend time with Him. You spent time with something else. Because His love is so powerful and so overwhelming that it'll find every crack, it'll find every crevice of your heart that's hurting, and He'll cause it to be healed. To say that's not so, you're calling Him a liar. What happens when a church realizes that the power it has and the influence it has in a city comes straight from its private time with Jesus? And it ceases to be about who you are, whether you're treated right, whether or not you had the respect you deserve, and it started being about, let's just go release the awe of Jesus all over this place. I'm simply going to take what I get, and I'm going to go live it and let it out there. Nobody can hurt you. Nobody can offend you. You make a choice to shrug off any kind of offense because in your world, when you spend time with Jesus, there isn't anything there. Folks, we have got to get real and stop conning our conscience and telling us, I'm okay. I got this. I spend time with Him. But as soon as you leave His presence and you do something else, then you were spending time with some concept. You weren't spending time with Him. Folks, I want Him. I want His Word. I want His Spirit to flood my soul with such revelation that it causes me to fall on the floor. Because I know when I get up, I'll be different. If we're getting up and we're still the same, then all you're following is somebody's idea. Somebody's idea ain't going to set you free. Nor will it cause you to create authentic community in the life of anybody else that you ever knew. Because there wasn't that element in that idea that it would wash out of your life like a fire hose all your hurt, all your deficiencies that you think you have. Only He can do that. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just love You. We just want You. We just want You. But we have this promise that if we just spend time with You, You'll keep us from a place of being offended. You'll keep us from a place of being hurt. You'll keep us from a place of being in fear. You'll keep us in a place of not having feeling the need to defend ourselves or defend our world. Because You've put us in a place where the most important thing in that place is is you and the object of your love. And my prayer, Lord, is for this congregation that we come to that place. That we make a decision, we draw a line in the sand, and we say, you know what? This is where I'm going to choose to live. I don't know how long it's going to take me, but I know if I spend time with you, I have this promise. That you'll make me a fisher of men. So I just thank you for that, Lord, and I thank you that you see everybody's heart in this place. And you know exactly where they're at. And I ask that you'll flood their hearts with your love, with your overwhelming view of who they are. And that it begins the process of removing our eyes off of us. And creates that desire in our hearts to make those flawless adjustments. And to abandon ourselves into your love like we've never known. And the beneficiary will be the people in the city. Because those are the ones that are important to you. So therefore, as a result of us spending time with you, they become what's important to us. And I just thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody greet that person. Amen.
Can I share one thing, Pastor Dan?
Sure.
Was that a yes? Okay. While he was finishing up service and just beginning to pray over us, it was like God just gave me a picture of every individual as we pour ourselves out to him and just ask him to reveal his love to us, that it was like liquid love or liquid gold pouring down over us, but it was on the inside. And it was a picture of like, I want to say fractured hearts, but it's more about your perception of you and what's been said about you or things that have come against you that have caused these fractures or these broken places in us. And it was like he was saying, if you'll press into me, I'll allow this love just to flow over you. And it was almost like it went in and it just filled in all those fractured spots so that when we look through that glass, we're not seeing all the fractures of our own heart on other people, but we are seeing clearly, and it allows us to love completely. So I pray that was for someone today.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.